So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning is when we pray. That's the title of my message, that song, When We Pray. And there's things that happen. There's things that take place. And there's a lot of things that you could put the end of that. When we pray, this happens. When we pray, this happens. But there's three things I want to hit this morning and I want to talk to you about. And the first one is when we pray, it reveals our connection. It reveals our relationship with God. There's things about our prayers that reveal what kind of relationship we're having with God. And I was going to originally intro with you a question because we've been talking this whole year about connecting to God. That's been our theme this whole year. And prayer, I was going to ask you a question, but now you know the answer. Prayer is one of the most common, most simple ways to connect to God. We've been talking about how reading Scripture is a way to connect to God, that getting involved in the body of Christ is connecting to God. Getting your hands dirty and going into the world and sharing the love of God with other people is a way of connecting to God. But really the most common, the most simple way that you can connect to God is through prayer. And prayer has so many different ways, so many different forms that you can connect to God through prayer. And I was thinking this through. I didn't want to Google and ask Siri or anything, but just thinking through some things about prayer, that there's all kinds of different forms of prayer. And I think that verse is coming up there. Ephesians 6:18, it says in New Living Translations, pray at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. New King James says, pray always with all prayer. And I think, yeah, that one's a different translation, but I want, New King James is what my Bible is. That's what I read the most. And it says, pray always with all prayer. And that word all prayer in the Greek, it just really means with every order of praying, every form of prayer, which is, let's read this translation. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. And I love that scripture. This verse is pointing out that there's different forms of prayer. There's different ways of praying. There's times where you can just pray thanksgiving. You're just thanking God for all the good things He's given you. There's times where it can be casual conversation, that you're just having this casual conversation with God. It can be times of intense spiritual warfare that you're interceding and, man, your strongholds are breaking. There's things that are going on in that intense prayer time. There's times where prayers are just general, that you're praying. It's routine. You pray before you eat a meal. They're just general prayers before you go to bed at night. There's prayers that that there's nothing wrong with those prayers. There's prayers that are very specific, that you're praying for a specific situation and with great specificity. There's small prayers, right? Like I said, kind of praying for your food to be blessed to your body. Small prayers. There's bigger prayers. There's the miraculously impossible prayers that we pray. And I love that. I heard a pastor say that we should have all those prayers going on in our lives at the same time. We should be praying for small things like getting a good parking lot, you know, what a good spot in the parking lot. Small little things that when they happen, you're like, oh, praise God, He heard my prayers. And then you have these big ones that, man, it might take a lifelong of just praying, interceding for those prayers. But because you have those small prayers and you see God answering those small prayers, they're not just coincidences. You see them as providence. God is answering your prayers. You have faith built up for these big, huge prayers. And so I love that you can have small prayers, big prayers all going at the same time. That you can have these singular, momentary prayers where it's just in the moment for one specific situation. You're praying for that and then you never pray for that again. There could be seasonal prayers where in the season of your life that you're going through, you're praying for the same thing throughout that whole season. There can be sustained lifelong prayers that you have endurance and you're just praying. You're not giving up. You're praying over a whole lifetime. And I heard someone talking about the story of John the Baptist's dad, right? Zechariah, when he was praying, when he went into the temple, actually God, the angel showed up and he says, I've come to answer the prayer that you stopped praying. You're so old that you stopped praying for a child. You used to pray for a long season. You were praying for a child. You stopped praying for that prayer, but I'm here years and decades later to answer the prayer that you stopped praying. I love that. That God hears our prayers. There's things where there's seasonal prayers, but God wants us to get endurance where we have all these different types of prayers going on, every form of prayer. I want us to understand how to do that. There's, like I said, these general prayers where it's not, you know, speaking in tongues. It's not this big, long, lots of words, really long. You hear people in here say that I pray for a long time. But I love when there's kids. Sometimes I just hear a kid say, God, heal mama. Three words. Very general, not big, theologically deep. But God hears that little child's prayer. God, heal mama. There's something sweet and genuine and real that God hears those prayers. It doesn't. In fact, Jesus says that right before the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. He's talking about, man, don't pray like those Pharisees and those people that are out on the streets and they say these long, big words and pray in front of everybody. Don't do that. Just get into your closet. Go in secret and spend time with God and just be real with Him. And there's these types of prayers that it's not wrong for me to stand here in public and pray. He's not coming against that. But there needs to be these different types of prayer lives that we have, and that God hears those general prayers, but God also hears prayers that are very specific. I was thinking about even Ezekiel, when God told Ezekiel to pray to these dry bones. Son of man, do you think these dry bones can live? He's like, God, you know, I don't know. Can these dry bones live? I don't know. If you say they can, maybe they can. And then God tells him what to pray. Pray that the bones come together. Okay, I prophesy that the bones come together. And there was rattling, the bones came together. Pray that the joints are put on there. And with I can't say that word, specificity. With specifics in his prayer. He prayed. And I guess there's probably a lot of you in this room that you've felt that, maybe in that same way. Maybe you didn't pray for someone to come to life, dry bones to come back to life, but you started praying for somebody, and as you were praying over a situation for somebody, all of a sudden words were coming out of your mouth that, oh man, where'd that come from? The Holy Spirit was giving you things to pray for. I love that. I love when that happens. I wish it happened more often. But there's times where God just wants to hear those general with not a lot of words, and there's times where, man, it's time to intercede and press in and keep going. Don't give up. Just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying, and God, with unction, the Holy Spirit gives you words to say, and I love that. So there's no wrong way to pray. There's prayers that people that aren't even Christians, they don't even know if there's a God or not. And they say, God, if there is a God and if you do exist, can you do this? And God shows up. So there's no wrong way to pray necessarily. But there's that God loves all these different forms of prayer. And I want to think about that. That again, this all these different forms of prayer, sometimes they reveal to us our connection to God. So there's not something wrong with saying different types of prayers, but it does reveal the relationship or the connection that we have with God. And I was thinking about my own life and all the different types of forms of prayer there is. And I was thinking about what percentage-wise, what type of prayer do I pray the most? And I thought, probably it's just conversational prayer. When I'm in my work truck, I'm just talking to God. I'm not interceding and doing hard spiritual work. Sometimes I do. I'm praying in tongues while I'm driving. But most of the time, percentage-wise, I'm just having conversation with God. I'm just talking to Him. That's probably the highest percentage in my life. The second one probably is thanking God. And this is not patting myself on the back. I'm just revealing to you my relationship with God, exposing the connection I have with Him. That's probably the second most, is just thanking God. Thanking God. Man, I'm just so, the way I view my life, you've heard me say so many times, I'm God's favorite. That's just the way I view life. God's so good to me. Everything I see, man, you're so good, God. You're so good. Things I don't deserve. He keeps giving me good things. I don't deserve His forgiveness, but He keeps giving it to me. Every morning, His mercies are new. I don't deserve it. And so I'm thankful. I see the sunset and it's beautiful. Thank you, God, for this creation. That's probably, if you ask my kids, when I put them to bed at night and I pray with them every night, that probably comes to my mouth more than anything else in our prayer. Thank you, God, for a good day. Thank you that this happened. Thank you for this and thank you for that. It's just, that's what comes out of my relationship with God. I love to give Him thanks. Probably the third most is help. That's probably realistically. God, help. God, help. I don't know what to do. I don't have the wisdom for this. And Your word says that if we lack wisdom, we can ask You, and You're a God who gives it liberally. So, God, help, because I don't have what it takes. Being Your pastor, often I'm in that mode. God, help. You hear these prayers almost every Sunday morning. God, help me. What I've prepared, I don't feel like it's enough. It's not enough to feed everybody. So help, help. That's probably a big percentage of my prayers is just help. But being honest with you, as I was thinking through these things, what I felt some conviction from the Holy Spirit is that there needs to be in my life, every form of prayer, there needs to be some growth and maturity in intercession, in praying for others. And it's amazing how even just this morning, in our early morning prayer, that we normally pray for the pastor to be anointed, and we pray for the service, and we pray for all these things, that the most that we prayed for this morning was for people, individuals. For Jan Rush to be healed, for different people in the room to show up because they weren't feeling well, and they did show up. It was just praying for people. And some people might say, well, we should have prayed for the whole service. We should pray for this. But it's just interesting how God weaves all these things in that I need to spend more time not just on me and God, but thinking about others. And intercession, I love that. That's a form of prayers, intercession, praying for other people. And so I'm just confessing with you this morning that you've heard, you're preaching to the choir. You guys heard that phrase before? This morning, I'm preaching to the preacher. There's a lot of forms of prayer that I kind of stay in this is my wheelhouse. This is how I talk to God. And I'm saying, you know what? I need to branch out. I need every form of prayer. I want to pray with passion, as you hear that verse, in the Spirit, passionately, with every form of prayer. And so I want to encourage you, even this last Sunday night, we had another church come and a ministry team, a worship team come, and they did things different. They worshiped with flags and banners, and they sang, to me, kind of more 70s styles and whatever else it was. But it was good. It was right. It was anointed. God was pleased. And to join into that form of worship was healthy and good and right. And I want to pray every form of prayer. I want to worship God in every way there is to worship God. I don't want to just stay in my rut. I don't want to just say, this is how I talk to God. No, I love that. You know, even when I hear other people pray, it reveals to me their relationship with God. There are some people, when I hear them pray, that I sense, man, there is a deep reverence and a holy fear of who God is. And I'm attracted to that. Oh, man, they've got a lot of fear of God Almighty. I like the way they talk to God. There's other people that when they pray, there's just a sweetness. They're in love. They're so affectionate in their conversation to God. And I love that. I love that, man, it's not just this religious thing that they have to do. It's they enjoy talking to God. And I'm saying all this to have you think about your connection, your relationship with God. If you had to do inventory like I just kind of did this morning in front of you, what forms of prayer do you have? And it reveals to you some of your connection. Like I said, I'm God's favorite, so I'm constantly thanking God. That just reveals kind of my relationship. If I look at my relationship, I kind of view myself as a child a lot. I'm constantly a child in God's presence. That's probably the most revealing to me. And like I said, God's wanting to mature me to also be a pastor and a shepherd and a dad and not just a child. And so I want to enter in all of that. I don't want to lose that childlike faith. I don't want to lose that relationship, but I want to grow in all forms of prayer. And so I'm saying that to you this morning is there room for you to grow in your relationship with God in all these different forms of prayer? And I was thinking, I shared with you guys, I don't know when it was, but I know I said this at least once before, that Mother Teresa, several decades ago, someone interviewed her, and they asked her, so, Mother Teresa, when you pray, what do you say to God? And there was silence for a little bit, and she said, I don't. I listen. So the interviewer said, okay, when you pray, what does God say to you? He doesn't. He listens. They didn't know how to report that. Well, I don't understand. What does that mean? But see, to me, that reveals the connection, the relationship that Mother Teresa had with God. It wasn't this rosy, all bubbles and everything's happy. She was spending time getting the heartbeat of God. She was in India with the untouchables, getting dirty, being exposed to sin, to death, decay, suffering. So when she spent time with God, she partnered with suffering with God. God doesn't enjoy seeing death and decay and suffering. He doesn't enjoy that God was suffering. And so she just joined in with God in the suffering. God, you don't like this. I don't like this. And they were just together. There was a depth in their relationship. So much so that her time and her prayers impacted the way she lived her life. I wrote this down. I want to find it because I felt God speaking to me as I wrote this down. Her prayer life and connection with God was immensely deep because she learned how to get the heartbeat of God and live out her prayers. Prayer dictated what her life looked like more than life dictated what her prayers looked like. I wrote that down, and I had to stop. Her prayers dictated what her life looked like more than life dictated what her prayers looked like. there was a maturity in a relationship. How many of us, our prayer life is dictated by the ups and downs of our life? We're going through a crisis. God help! God help! That whatever's happening in life, that's what our prayers look like. And I'm saying, God, I want my prayer life to dictate what my ups and downs look like. I don't want life impacting and changing the way I pray every time. I want my prayers to have more an effect on my life. That my time spent with God actually means something. That I'm living out what I just spent time talking to God about. I want this maturity. And I want us to have this maturity. That we learn how to pray. I love that song that we just sang, right? It's joy. It should be fun. It should be enjoyable to spend time with God. And it is. But there's all these different types of forms of prayer. Is there depth to our prayers? Are we praying superficial prayers? And God's exposing to me that some of my connection, my relationship with God is pretty shallow, pretty superficial. And I'm saying, God, take me deeper. I want to learn how to pray. Teach me. Show me. That's what the disciples said. Jesus, teach us how to pray. And a lot of us, we know that, the model prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Right? There's these things that there's maturity in that. That we're not just praying, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. But we're praying, hallowed be your name. God, you're our Father. Forgive me. There's forgiveness, prayers of forgiveness happening daily. There's all these different forms of prayer. God, take me into those. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to have roots that go all over in prayer. Like I said, this morning I'm preaching to the preacher. So when we pray, it reveals our connection. The next one I want to hit. When we pray, He hears. Scripture to back that up. 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And I love this. I could break this down for the next 45 minutes, but I'm not going to. But I love that if we pray, He hears us. I know there's some more in there. I'm going to get there. But stay with those phrases. If we pray, He hears. Meaning, if we don't pray, I think there's prayers that we're not praying that God's not hearing. I think there's prayers that God wants us to pray that we're not praying. If we pray, He hears us. But there's an if. Are we actually praying? Are we actually asking? Are we actually spending time with God? Because He hears. When we pray, He does hear. But there is an if there. If we pray. And I know there's more context too. If we pray and ask anything. We can ask anything. And He hears us. But there's again, if we pray and ask anything according to His will. Amen. And I think a lot of us, myself included, we're guilty of kind of throwing that tagline on there. If it be your will, because we don't know what His will is. God, I don't know what you want. So if it be your will, do this. And it's healthy. We should pray according to God's will. It's Scripture. Jesus, not my will, your will be done. These are all healthy things. But I love that even in Sunday school hour, I wasn't in it for the whole Sunday school, but in Greg's Sunday school class, I heard they were talking about prayer. And they were talking about all these different things. And so it was fun to hear that God's weaving this in, that this is something that God wants to say to some of us this morning. But this idea, well, I don't know what God's will is, so I think my mom was saying that. Well, I don't know what God's will is, so I just won't pray. Just let Him do what He wants to do, because my plan's not as good as His plan anyway, so just let Him do it. You know, there's an old phrase I heard someone say that, maybe you've heard before. If you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. It's so true, at least in my life. Really quick, I was thinking about that. I shared with a few people that when I was in college, you're supposed to have like a plan. You're supposed to know what you want to do with the rest of your life. You're going to college to get a degree. And people would ask me, so Ryan, you're in college. What do you want to do with your life? And I was like, you know what? I don't really know, but I know there's some things I don't want to do. I don't know what I do want to do. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this degree. But I know that for one thing, I don't ever want to be the owner of a company. I don't ever want to run a business. And the second thing is, I don't really like talking on phones. So I don't want to talk to a lot of people. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. What are my two jobs? I work for the phone company, and I'm the lead pastor of a church. Like, God thinks he's funny. He thinks he's funny. Sometimes I don't think he is. Now I'm trying to remember where I was at. Get back to my sermon. Oh, yeah, no. But that's where I was at. Praying according to God's will. We should pray according to God's will. But I want to free us from that handicap. Because I think often we feel like, well, I don't really know God's... I'm preaching to myself. I don't know what God wants to do. So, God, your will be done. I just kind of just say that. But the reality is, think about it. That word will. When you hear just the word will, I think of a person in the back. I think of this. I think of someone that's older in age, that has some money and possessions, that has some kids and grandkids, and that wants to write something down to bring clarity of what they want. So there's a written will of what they want. Well, the Ancient of Days, the only wise God who calls us his children, has written down his will. He's written his will. We can know his will. We do know his will. There's a lot of us in this room that I'm preaching to the preacher. I say, I don't know what God's will is. I've read this thing several times. I do know his will. What is his will? Micah 6:8. What does God require of mankind? That you do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. 2 Timothy, it says that God's desire is that none should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 29:11, God's will, his desire, his plan is to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. So is it wrong to pray that God would bless you? No, read God's will. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you indeed. All the promises of God are yes and amen. You want to know what God's will is for your marriage? This talks about marriage. You want to know what God's will is about your finances? This talks a lot about money. You want to know what God's will is in your relationship with your coworkers, with an employer? It talks about that. God's will, he doesn't want us to be confused. He wants us to pray, if we ask anything, according to his will. And so there's times where when we pray, I think it's important we pray according to his will, but it doesn't need to be this cloudy, if it be your will, God, I don't know what your will is, but if it is. No. When I pray for someone to be healed, I know what God's will is. God is a healer. That's his character. That's his nature. He enjoys healing people. That's who he is. So I don't have to say, well, I don't know if he wants to heal this person. No, that's his character. It's his nature. He likes to heal. So God, I'm praying, and according to your will, I'm asking that you would heal because you are a healer. God, I'm praying that you would bless this person, that you'd cause their finances to increase because you do. You're a giver. That's who God is. He's a giver. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We have not because we ask not. There's these things where he says, in Matthew, right? Does he say that Matthew 7:7? He says, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. He hears us. He hears us. If we're going to ask, he hears us. Now, I was thinking about that Matthew 7:7. I just quoted it to you. But just as that's true, it's the word of God, it's true. Sometimes when we inverse it and say the exact opposite, it's still true. And I want to say it to you the opposite. Matthew 7:7. When you don't ask, it won't be given to you. When you don't seek, you'll not find. And when you don't knock, the door will not be opened to you. That's convicting. I don't know why saying the inverse is so much more convicting to me. Because how many doors have not been opened because I didn't ask? See, because I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but God honors bold prayers. And bold prayers honor God. Amen. There's something about that, and I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit, but I was going to read to you. I wasn't sure I was going to tell you where it's coming from or not, but I will. I'm about a third of the way through this book, The Circle Makers. Anyone heard of it? Circle Maker? Yes. There's about 2 million copies in print. It's been out for several years. Pastor Mark Batterson. There's people that don't like the theology in here. I'm a third of the way through. I love all of it. And I'm going to read to you just a second why he calls it a circle maker. But there's things in here that it's rocking my world. I'm just being real. Again, I'm preaching the preacher this morning. There's prayers that if I'm really honest, as I'm spending time with God, there's bold prayers that's even hard for me to say, to confess to you, that I'm afraid to pray. And I'm saying, God, change me. Why is it that fear is keeping me from praying these bold prayers? There needs to be. I believe that God can do this and this, but then when it comes to the impossible, when it comes to, man, these huge things, I tend to shy away from asking for those. But when you think about it, when you think about an infinite God, every finite thing is equally finite. The impossible and the possible, they're the same. He's the God of the impossible, right? So if it's impossible or possible, it's not like one's harder than the other. He's infinite. He's all-powerful. So it's not like these small prayers are easier for him to answer than the big ones. They're just the same to him. And so I'll end with my last point. When we pray, it has an effect. James 5:16, many of you heard this verse. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. There's an effect. When we pray, we just heard that whole song. When we pray, strongholds are breaking. Prison walls are shaking. When we pray, there is an effect. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. They change the world. There's things that happen when we pray. And so I'm going to read to you. There's a story here that this whole book is premised on. And it's not from the Bible. Oh my goodness, people all having problems with it. It's actually from the Talmud. Has anyone ever heard of the Talmud? The Midrash, the Talmud. It's a Jewish, it's not the Bible, it's not the Torah, but it's these stories and sayings that for thousands of years, all these I don't know, prophets or different godly people have written down in the Jewish religion, and they've recorded it for hundreds and thousands of years. And so there's this story of somebody I want to read to you this morning. It'll take me 3 minutes. I timed myself. It takes me 3 minutes to read this story. So you get a little story time right now. It was the first century BC, and a devastating drought threatened to destroy a generation, the generation before Jesus. The last of the Jewish prophets had died off nearly four centuries before. Miracles were such a distant memory that they seemed like a false memory. And God was nowhere to be heard. But there was one man, an eccentric sage who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem, who dared to pray anyway. His name was Honi. And even if the people could no longer hear God, he believed that God could still hear them. When rain is plentiful, it's an afterthought. During a drought, it's the only thought. And Honi was their only hope. Famous for his ability to pray for rain, it was on this day, the day, that Honi would earn his moniker. With a 6-foot staff in his hand, Honi began to turn like a math compass. His circular movement was rhythmical and methodical. 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 270 degrees, 360 degrees. He never looked up as the crowd looked on. After what seemed like hours, but it had only been seconds, Honi stood inside the circle he had drawn. Then he dropped to his knees and raised his hands to heaven. With the authority of the prophet Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, Honi called down rain. Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. The words sent a shudder down the spines of all who were within earshot that day. It wasn't just the volume of his voice, it was the authority of his tone. Not a hint of doubt. This prayer didn't originate in the vocal cords. Like water from an artesian well, the words flowed from the depth of his soul. He prayed. His prayer was resolute yet humble, confident yet meek, expectant yet unassuming. Then it happened. As his prayer ascended to the heavens, raindrops descended to the earth. An audible gasp swept across the thousands of congregants who had encircled Honi. Every head turned heavenward at the first raindrops as the raindrops parachuted from the sky. But Honi's head remained bowed. The people rejoiced over each drop, but Honi wasn't satisfied with a sprinkle. Still kneeling within the circle, Honi lifted his voice over the sounds of celebration. "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns." The sprinkle turned into such a torrential downpour that eyewitnesses said no raindrop was smaller than an egg in size. It rained so heavily and so steadily that the people fled to the Temple Mount to escape the flash floods. Honi stayed and prayed inside his protracted circle. One more time, he refined his bold request. "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness." Then, like a well-proportioned sun shower on a hot and humid August afternoon, it began to rain calmly, peacefully. Each raindrop was a tangible token of God's grace. And they didn't just soak the skin, they soaked the spirit with faith. Eventually, the dirt turned into mud and back into dirt again. After quenching their thirst, the crowd dispersed, and the rainmaker returned to his humble hovel on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Life returned to normal, but the legend of the circle maker had been born. Honi was celebrated as a hometown hero by the people whose lives he had saved. But some within the Sanhedrin called the circle maker into question. A faction believed that drawing a circle and demanding rain dishonored God. Maybe it was those same members of the Sanhedrin who would criticize Jesus for healing a man's shriveled hand on the Sabbath a generation later. They treated Honi with excommunication, but because the miracle could not be repudiated, Honi was ultimately honored for his act of prayerful bravado. The prayer that saved the generation was deemed one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. The circle he drew in the sand became a sacred symbol, and the legend of Honi the Circle Maker stands forever as a testament to the power of a single prayer to change the course of history. I love that story because even when I read it, it seemed controversial. He stood in that circle and he demanded that God would pray. "I'm not going to leave. That doesn't seem logical. That doesn't seem very wise. Because what if God didn't show up? What if you had to stay in that circle for years and then finally had to eat your words and leave the circle to go use the restroom or to go eat or something, right?" But there's something about that story that challenges me. Because maybe where you're at, you're ready to accuse that story of not being so accurate. You can't do the same thing today. Without making it a controversial story, here's one that you can tell me all day long you don't agree with. It doesn't matter because it's in my own life. You guys remember when, just several weeks ago, John Bills was here and he preached on a Sunday morning? And there was somewhat of an altar call at the end. And people came forward. And, "Benjamin, sorry, I forgot to ask for approval. Is it okay if I tell your story?"
Yeah.
Okay. Benjamin came forward. And I didn't know what he was praying for. I didn't know anything until later that night. He said that, "I'm not going to have dessert tonight, Dad." I'm like, "Oh, why not? After dinner, no dessert." I said, "Why not?" He's like, "Well, I felt like when I was up front that I need to fast and not have dessert until my friend at school becomes saved." And right away, as a dad of an 11-year-old, there's logic, you know, coming in like, "Well, that's not really smart. You might not do this." I wanted to say something, but I was checked by the Holy Spirit right away. "Don't touch it. Leave it alone." I was like, "All right." And so I didn't say anything. I didn't correct. I didn't try to do anything. I just kept my mouth shut. And Benjamin, it's one of his good friends. And he's been praying for a long time. You can ask the youth group. I know he's prayed over there with Pastor Matt. He's been praying for months. But there was something about this. He was drawing a circle. "I'm not going to eat dessert until my friend gets saved." I love that kind of faith. It was a bold prayer. It required something on his part. It wasn't just 100% up to God. There was something that he had to take partnership. "I'm not going to do this until this, God." And I love the story because it goes on a couple weeks, and a couple weeks go by, and I see Benjamin eating dessert. I'm like, "Benjamin, you're eating dessert. What happened?" And he goes, "Oh, I didn't tell you. 3 days ago, my friend asked Jesus to come into his heart." I'm like, "Benjamin, you didn't tell me." And he's like, well, yeah, but I wasn't the one that led him to the Lord. It was my teacher. After school, he stayed in the classroom. The teacher one-on-one said the prayer, and he led him to the Lord. So it wasn't me. I'm like, Benjamin, you don't understand what you did. You made the way. Without your prayers, that wouldn't have happened. Because it doesn't matter if you were the one that actually said the prayer with him. You fasting, you hearing from God, you putting obedience and doing something is what paved the way. The fervent, effectual prayers of a young man availed much. Your prayers have an effect. It doesn't have to be. I don't want to make it sound like you have to be this holy person like Honi. You can be a young child. You can say a general prayer, Daddy, heal. It doesn't have to be these big words. But know that your prayers have an effect. Like I said, tonight we're going to be praying for VBS. We're going to be walking through doing a prayer circle around our property. There's power in that. That's not just a fun little tradition we do. There's power in that. That when you pray, even if you just say a prayer with me before we close the service, and you in your heart, you just say, yeah, God, would you bless a little child here? You are taking responsibility for God blessing a child here during the week of VBS. You play a part. I know I've shared this before. I love that song. It's an old song, back from the 80s. Old song. For me, old. So thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Right? Does anyone know that song? Really old? This is about this guy that goes to heaven. And when he gets to heaven, there's all these people coming to him. And they're saying thank you to this guy. He's like, well, I don't know you. Who are you? He said, well, a missionary came to your church and you put $5 in the plate. And that $5, God took that $5 and he used it. And that's why I'm in heaven today. Because of your $5. You said a prayer during the Sunday school hour. And that prayer is why I'm here in heaven today. There's all these people in heaven saying, you had an effect on me. Your prayers had an effect on my life. I want you to understand that your prayers, they have an effect. And so we've got 5 minutes prayer. We're going to close the service. And we normally have leaders come on forward and you come and get prayer. But I'm going to switch it this time. I'm going to have you guys get in groups of four, which is what our connect groups are supposed to be, groups of four. And I'm going to have you pray for one another. If you have no idea what to pray for, just pray for VBS. That's an easy one. There's always something to pray for. But I would encourage you, maybe there's someone in that group of four that has something that needs prayer. And maybe you don't like praying in public or don't like praying in front of other people. I'm encouraging every single person in this room, would you be a doer of the word this morning? You don't have to say this big, long, full of scripture and big words. Just say something simple, one sentence. It doesn't matter. But I would love for all of us to leave this room having prayed what I need to do for somebody else, for another situation. That like Mother Teresa, I'm not just praying, God help me, God make my life more comfortable. But God, may in this moment, may I be a blessing to somebody else. May I have your heart to help somebody else.